If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, it's 11:07 here on a Sunday night. I'm Carl Amari. This is the WGN Radio Theater, program 98 in the series. This is July 24th, 2016, and to my right, the vivacious and effervescent Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa Wolf?
Hey, Carl, what's up with you?
Very dimply.
Well, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
Very, very dimply. And then Mike Estella, our executive producer, is here. Hi, Mike.
Hello, hello.
And our producer, Elif Garris, is in the booth. Hi, Elif. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. How are you?
Very, very good. All right, so you know what? On this edition, James Cagney, great actor. We're saluting him. And this is the last of the salutes. We may sprinkle in some salutes a little later in the year.
I was
right?
going to say, as soon as we told everyone this was the end of the salutes, we got quite a few people that said, oh, please, please don't end them. But,
yeah, well,
you know, we are trying to make everybody happy, and it's just impossible.
We definitely try to make our listeners happy. And a lot of people were like, okay, we like the salutes, but let's get back to the regular schedule. So next weekend, which will be our 100th show on Sunday, Lisa, we have to
100.
Do something.
So Elif is throwing us a party.
Yeah.
Yay, Elif, thank you, Elif.
And there will be chocolate cake, Carl. Don't worry.
Well, my vote is that we all do the show in bikinis. All of us.
Mike, what
do you think of that idea?
Bikini show. That's fine. I might not be there that night, but I'm okay with that.
I'm thinking this is what, because it's radio and we should, you know, I think it'll be good. Right?
I didn't say anything.
I'm saying we do it from Bikini Island. So you no, you took it wrong. We broadcast from Bikini Island.
Your joke just went flat.
Okay. I don't have my sound effect anymore. On this edition of the WGN Radio Theater, it's Arch Obler's Plays, Suspense, and the Screen Guild Theater, all starring Jimmy Cagney. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor will star as a detective lieutenant in the action comedy Bad Boys 2, a sequel to the 1995 film Bad Boys.
All right, what do they win?
A pair of tickets to see The Odd Couple playing right now at Theater at the Center.
All right, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor portrayed Muhammad Ali in Ali.
That man's so ugly, when he sweat, the sweat run backwards off his forehead just to stay away from his face.
312-981-7200. Identify that actor and win tickets to see The Odd Couple. We'll be right back.
And we are back. This is the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip again.
That man's so ugly, when he sweat, the sweat run backwards off his forehead just to stay away from his face.
And we've got James from Chicago. Hey, James.
Hi, guys.
We're glad to have you with us, and we're hoping you recognize that voice.
Will Smith.
You are right, James. You are a winner. We are so excited to give you a pair of tickets to the comedy classic The Odd Couple. It's playing right now through August 14th at Theater in the Center. That's in Munster, Indiana. And it's a great show, and you can buy the tickets at theateratthecenter.com, and you can check out their website as well. We hope you love The Odd Couple. It's a great play, and of course it was a wonderful television
But James
show.
Doesn't have to buy any tickets because he's
no,
got
he doesn't
two
have
tickets
to buy
coming
them,
in
but
free.
People who want to see the show can buy them. James gets them
so
for it, free.
So, James, let me ask
Thanks.
You a question. If Lisa and I were the Odd Couple, which one would be Oscar Madison and which one would be Felix Unger?
I would say you would be Oscar.
Me? You're right. Absolutely.
I'm Felix?
Yeah, because remember yesterday you said you're clean. You're very clean. You don't even need to take a bath or shower.
I Yeah.
You're Felix.
Yeah, I don't need anything. I'm just plain clean.
James, have fun at the Odd Couple. We thank you for calling in.
You're dirty.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, buddy. Take care. Thanks for calling in. All right, it is time to begin our salute to Jimmy Cagney. And we're going to start things off with an Arch Obler play. And this was a drama that came to radio in 1939. Arch Obler, Lisa, was considered by many critics to be like a top literary genius. And he gained great fame as a writer and a producer and director of Lights Out, you know, the horror series Lights Out from the 1930s and 40s. And then NBC said, you know what? We want you to do another show. You're so cool. We want you to do another show. So they said, how about we do something called Arch Obler's Plays? And these plays were mostly patriotic plays starring top stars like Ingrid Bergman, Ronald Coleman, Orson Welles, Joan Crawford, Burgess Meredith, with an occasional mystery or suspense story. Now, this one lasted one season but was revived 5 years later on Mutual. We have a patriotic story for you now. This is really one of the best shows from the Arch Obler Plays series. I think you're going to really love this. Let's go back to March 9th, 1944. Johnny Got His Gun, and this stars Jimmy Cagney in the lead role. Here's part one now of Arch Obler's Plays.
Arch Obler's Plays. A Story in the Night. Tonight, James Cagney in Arch Obler's dramatization of the most talked-of book of the year, Johnny Got His Gun, by Dalton Trumbull.
We tell you of Joe Bonham. 22 years ago, he went to war. They carried him back from that war. They carried him back because he had no arms, no legs, no ears with which to hear, no eyes with which to see, no mouth with which to speak. Today he lies alone in a room in a hospital close to your city. He's living flesh and he waits. Your world is shut off from Joe Bonham. He has only the world within his own mind. We tell you of Joe Bonham. These are the thoughts of a boy who 22 years ago went to war.
Somebody listen to me. I'm talking to you. Somebody listen to me. Gotta talk to somebody. It's dark and lonely. Somebody. No. Going out of my head again. How can you hear what ain't got a tongue? Ain't got a mouth? Ain't got. No. Won't think of that anymore. Gotta think of something, yeah. Something else. If I don't think. My head, yeah, quick, think about when I was a kid.
Hey, Joe, come on in swimming.
Yeah, swimming. When I was a kid, I went swimming. Dive in the river, feel the water against my legs and my arms. Now I haven't got any No. No, won't think of that. Think about my town.
It's the nicest little old place on earth, Shale City.
I gotta remember.
Hamburger, get your hot hamburger, get your hot hamburger.
Yeah, best hamburgers in the world.
All right, boy, here's 30 cents. Go down and get three hamburgers.
Pa.
Oh, they're delicious. If I could only cook like this.
Ma, she. No. No, don't think of her. Think about. County Fair.
See the lady cut in half, the fourth part of a dollar.
Motorcycle rider, defying death inside a straight up and down circular wall.
I can't remember anymore. I gotta remember. I gotta. If I don't remember things, I'll think. And if I think. No. I gotta remember something. Something. Girls. Think about girls. Quick, think about girls.
Joe.
Kareen?
Joe, I'm scared. I'm so scared.
No.
Kiss me. Hold me.
We shouldn't have turned the lights out. Your old man will be sore.
He understands.
Your lips.
Don't go. They'll kill you.
I gotta go. When you're drafted, you gotta.
Oh, Joe. Joe, I don't want you to go. Hold me. Tight. Maybe we'll never get another chance. Now, Joe. In your arms, Joe. In your arms. In your arms.
My arms. My arms.
What?
Joe, hold me. Don't go,
Johnny,
don't.
Get your gun.
Joe, I'm part of you now. Oh, go, Joe.
My arms. I haven't got any arms. You hear me, Karine? I haven't got any arms. What's the matter with me? I didn't find it out yesterday or the day before. It was
1939, 1938, 1937.
A long time ago.
Joe?
Karine, you're still in my head. I'll tell you as if you were here. Here's how I found out everything about myself. I woke up like out of a dream. It was like I was in the water. I tried to swim, but I didn't have any arms. I started to kick my legs to float up in the air out of the bed. But I couldn't kick. I didn't have any I threw my head back. I started to yell. I only started. But how can you yell when you haven't got a... I began to reach out, Karine. The only way I could reach out. With the nerves of my skin. The hole in my face. Feel the skin creeping around the edge of it. It went... I was blind. What a lousy dream. Nobody could live like that. Just dream, and that's all. But it wasn't a dream. Mother. Mother, where are you? Hurry, Mother. Hurry, and wake me up. I'm having a nightmare, Mother. Where are you? Mother, listen to me. I can't stand it. Mother, please tell me it's not me. Not me, no, not me. Oh, please. That's the way I found out a long time ago. Who was I telling that to?
Joe.
Oh, Karine. Still in my head, in my heart. Now I'll tell you about how I found out about time, about the days. Knowing about the days you're living through, that's important, see? But all I remembered was... dive in the dugout and then... And that was all. A day in September 1918. And that's all. Time stopped then. Start time over again. But how could I catch hold of time when I was caught inside myself? Vibrations. I had it. When the nurse came into the room... the vibration of her footsteps running up through the floor, through the bed, through the springs of the bed, into me. All I had to do was count the seconds, then the minutes, then the hours between each visit she made, until I had 24 hours counted up in my head. And after that, I'd be able to figure the days out just by counting up her visits. One day, the minute the nurse left me, I began to count.
One, two, three,
second by second,
four,
second
five,
by second.
Six,
when
seven,
I counted 60...
eight,
that
nine,
meant a minute,
ten,
as nearly as I was able to figure
12,
it.
13,
but
14,
I always lost count. I'd think of something else. Then I'd lose count again.
One, two, three.
One, two.
Day after
nine,
day after day,
two,
but I could never keep track.
Five,
I couldn't.
Six,
I couldn't.
Nine.
And all the time, the days were running away from me. And then, one day it happened. The skin on the side of my neck... the half of a forehead above the mask. Lying there all the years gone by, I got to thinking that maybe there was some way I could use those pieces of skin. Skin free to the air. They were healthy. I got to thinking what a man did with his skin.
To feel with.
But that didn't seem enough.
To sweat with.
Yeah, sweat with. Hot and cold.
Sunrise and sunset.
Just like that. The idea came into my head just like that. All I had to do was to feel with my skin. When it changed from cool to warm on that little piece of skin, It'll be sunrise and the beginning of a day. I got to thinking about the nurse and how many visits she made me each day and when she made them. Yeah, I'd better start with the nurse. She changes the bedding. In a hospital, they must change bedding in the morning, maybe around 8 o'clock. So all I got to do is wait till she changes the bedclothes. That'll mean it's morning. Then wait, maybe 18, 20 hours, and that'll be next morning. That'll be sunrise. You can feel the heat of sunrise against your skin, yeah. So I waited until the next time she changed the bedding. She walked away. Calm down. Calm down, because you haven't proved anything yet. Calm down and wait and count her visits. Number two, I dozed off and woke. Visit number three, time got all mixed up. Then four, and then the fifth time. And then all of a sudden, I knew it was happening. My heart stopped. My breath stopped. I knew it was happening. Slow at first, crawling along my skin. Warmer and warmer, the rising sun. In my room, I'd won. I caught up with time again. The sun, it was dawn. It was dawn for the world and for me. I could smell the dawn. Yeah, me without a face lying there, and the smell of the dew on the grass, and me without eyes shading my eyes and seeing the sun coming up over the mountains back home, and the hills going pink and lavender like the inside of a seashell. The sun warming my little piece of skin, and me seeing without eyes the town where I was born, and me without ears hearing the lowing of the cows waiting to be milked, and babies kicking in their cribs and rubbing their eyes with their fists. It's sunrise, and I've got it. And now I'll always know when it's sunrise, and they can't take it away from me. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I may never have anything else, but I'll always have dawn and the morning sunlight. A year went by fast. I was a busy guy. I learned a lot. Yeah, could even tell my nurses apart. The day nurse always walked to the bed with four steps. She was always the same, but the night nurses seemed to change. One of them must have cried when she looked at me. I felt her tears wet on me. I like to think she was young and beautiful. But every night, summer and winter, week in and week out, month in and month out, every night I was with you, Karim. With you, darling. My arms around you. Yours around me. With you, Karim.
Joe, my darling.
Close to you.
My dearest.
My arms around you.
My lover.
Yours around me.
Mine.
With you, Karim.
Oh, Joe.
2 years went by after I discovered time. 3 years went by after I discovered time. The fourth year started awfully slow. One day I felt vibrations. Vibrations heavier and heavier, and then they stopped. I knew they were standing around the bed. After all these years, visitors. And all at once, crazy thoughts went through my head.
It may be your mother.
No.
Karine.
No, not Karine. Not Karine standing by my bed. You can't see me. Not this way. Not you, Karine. Go away. Go away. Go away. Go away. Go away. Go away. Then a hand came to rest on my forehead. Man's hand.
Doctors.
Yes. Maybe doctors come to examine me. Somebody was touching at my nightshade over my left breast. The cloth fell back against my chest again. It was heavy now, weighed down by something. Medal. They've given me a medal. Me, a medal. Me, a medal. Me!
All right, let's take a break here on Arch Obler's Plays with Johnny Got His Gun, starring James Cagney. from 1940. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. I feel like surfing. You know, like I'm surfing on the water right here.
How do you do it surfing?
See, look at me. Surfing USA.
Are you a good surfer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The best.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was never a good sidewalk surfer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had that skateboard.
Yeah. I had a skateboard, yeah. too.
Go ahead.
I made my own.
You made your own skateboard?
I had a piece of wood down in my dad's workshop, smoothed it up, and then took an old key skate, the metal skates,
right,
sawed it in half, and nailed it to the bottom of the board. And it was awesome.
Huh. And that was your... That was
my surf, my street surfboard. That was before they started selling skateboards in the stores, like the real big fancy
ones. Back in the early 1900s, before they had skateboards.
Ought nine?
Ought nine.
You know, I would never do the surfing or any kind of rollerblading or any of that kind of stuff, because I told you one time when I was 16, I wore platform shoes and fell and twisted my leg. So my ankle.
Is it your ankle?
Yeah. So I'm just not real
athletic.
Oh, did he fall right into that one?
Oh. No, but I'm just not good with I like terra firma. I like terra firma. I like being on the ground.
That's a big word, Carl.
Yeah, words. Being on the ground. You know, and
you like to be grounded.
I like to be. I'm very grounded.
You're very grounded. Yeah.
So I can see Roger with his own homemade skateboard.
Now I don't know if you know the North Shore, but Evanston, there's Ridge Avenue, which actually back in prehistoric days, way before I was born, Lake Michigan came up to the Ridge Avenue. So east on Ridge Avenue, all the streets just really dip down far. And so you just stand at the top of Ridge and push off and go down as far as you can, as long as you can, without any regard whatsoever to traffic or anything else that might be in your way.
And back in those days, you didn't wear a helmet.
No.
And
I can
and I can sort of see the ramifications of that.
You know what, Roger? My sweet 16 was roller skating. I was talking to Dave Player about that last night. We were talking about the axle.
That was
big back in my day as well.
Gosh, that's right.
Yeah.
I would go to the roller skate.
We'd go roller skating, with music girls. And you hold hands, and it was very intimate.
Sure. And the fancy schmancy people moved towards the middle.
Yes.
Because they did all the fancy moves.
That
and
was
everybody.
Me.
That was you?
Oh, very fancy.
I was wondering. I was the one holding on to the board.
Could you skate backwards?
I was
backwards?
The one that wasn't looking at you.
Lisa,
I know.
Lisa, could you skate backwards?
I still go backwards.
What?
Ooh.
Wow.
Oh, sure.
Aren't you impressed now?
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to roller skate. Like, remember when in the movie Rocky, where he's ice skating with Adrian, and she's kind of like, that's how I roller skate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you hold on to the boards, too.
Yeah. I hold on to Sylvester Stallone.
Wow.
Hello.
All right. Let's enough of this. Let's skate on through this and get to the show. Huh?
Good.
I don't have my sound effect anymore.
No,
I can't
noticed that.
Psh, psh, boom.
They took that away for good reason.
I think that there was complaints or something like that from high management.
Yeah.
Here, there was like no more rim shots
Let's keep that away from Carl.
Yeah, let's get that. Take that toy away from him. He was bad.
You are bad.
Take his toy away. All right, we're tuning in to Johnny Got His Gun on Arch Obler Plays from March 9th, 1940. Here's the conclusion.
The generals were here, around my bed. The generals. The big guys, the famous guys who still had arms and legs and could still see and talk and smell and taste. In my throat, I felt a tearing of something that used to be a voice. I was talking to them, and they couldn't hear me. I was saying, listen, big guys, I'm lying here like a side of beef, and for what?
War. We're going to war.
Yeah, someone said that, so I went. But why? Why? Somebody just said,
let's go out and fight for liberty.
Liberty? What kind of liberty? How much liberty and whose idea of liberty? A guy says, come on, let's fight for liberty. And he can't show you liberty. If you're going to die for liberty, you've got to know in advance what liberty is and whose idea of liberty they're talking about and just how much of that liberty we're going to have. Maybe that's a bad way to think.
The big guys say it's bad, and I heard them. In the schools and the newspapers and the legislatures and the congresses, that's their business. They sound wonderful.
This ground is sanctified by blood. They shall not have died in vain.
Our noble dead.
But I'm asking you, big guys, what do the dead say? Did any one of them ever come back and say...
I'm glad I'm dead, because death is always better than dishonor.
Did they say...
I'm glad I died to make the world safe for democracy.
Nobody but the dead know whether all these things people talk about are worth dying for or not. And the dead can't talk. So the words about noble death and sacred blood and honor and such are all put into dead lips by those that got no right to speak for the dead. I'm asking you, big guys, how did they feel about it just before they died? Did all those guys die thinking of democracy and freedom and liberty and honor? You know they didn't. They died crying in their minds like little kids. They died crying for the face of a friend. They died crying for the voice of a mother or father or wife or baby. They died moaning and crying for life. I know. I'm the nearest thing to a dead man on earth. There's nothing bigger than life. What's noble about having your legs and arms blown off? What's noble about being blind and deaf and dumb? I'm dead, big guys, and I died for nothing. You hear me? Nothing, nothing. You hear me, big guys? But they didn't hear me. Just as you couldn't hear me, Karim, if you were standing next to me. All the generals heard was the blowing of the air in the tube in my throat. When I heard the vibrations of the footsteps that said they were going, I began to think. The vibrations. Up to now, I thought only of the vibrations coming to me. How about making my vibrations go to them? Yes, vibrations to them. A footstep on the floor is a kind of vibration. The tap of a telegraph key is another kind. I had it. I had it. When I was a kid, Bill Harper and me, we had a telegraph set. Used to telegraph to each other. Dot, dash, dot, dash, dot, dash, dot. I remember the code, the Morse code. All I had to do to break through to the people outside was to lie in bed and dot, dash to the nurse. I could give messages and receive messages. I raised my head from my pillow. I dropped it. Then I did it twice quickly. That was it. With my head, raise my head, let it fall on the pillow. The Morse code. S-O-S, help. I tapped it out of my pillow with my head. S-O-S, all over the world, that meant help. S-O-S, help, help. Then the door of the room jarred open and the nurse's footsteps came up to the bed. S-O-S, S-O-S, over and over again. She was looking at me. I knew it, I knew it. S-O-S, help me. S-O-S, help me. S-O-S, oh, why can't you understand? S-O-S, help me. S-O-S, help me. S-O-S, S-O-S.
Help me, S-O-S. Help me.
My head full of it. Tapping it out with my head over and over. Over and over. Couldn't stop. Why won't they hear me? Why won't they understand? Why won't they hear me? Karine, why? No. There isn't any Karine. There isn't nothing. I've been talking in my head. There's nothing for me. Nothing.
S.O.S.
I don't know
help
what
me.
Day it is.
S.O.S.
I don't know
help
what
me.
Month it is.
S-O-S.
I don't know what
help
year it is.
S-O-S.
I've been tapping
help
for years
me.
And years and nobody hears
help me.
S-O-S. Nobody, nobody,
S-O-S.
Nobody. Someone's come into the room. Footstep light. My regular day nurse. Hers are heavy. Who is this one? Start tapping now. What is this one doing? Opening the nightshirt. She's moving the tip of her finger against my skin. Huh? Drawing something. Huh? I know. The letter M. I know. Shake my head. Yes, yes, I know, I know. I understand. It's M, M, wonderful M. Writing something else on my skin. E. Yes, yes, I got that. R, yes. Another R, yes. Now what? Why? Nothing more. M-E-R-R-Y. Mary. Writing again. C-H-R-I-S-T-M-A-S. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, nurse, I understand. Nodding my head to tell you I understand. I can't say it so you can hear me, but in my heart I'm saying it. Merry Christmas, nurse. God bless you. Bells in my town. I'm hearing them in my head, nurse.
"'Twas the night before Christmas."
"Mother."
"And all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse."
"Mother, I hear you."
"The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in a hope that St. Nicholas soon would be there."
"Every Christmas Eve, I remember."
"He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like down from a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, 'Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.'"
"Merry Christmas, Mother. Merry Christmas, Mother." "Nurse, new nurse, smart nurse. She'll pay attention to me. Old nurse didn't understand. New nurse, you've got to understand. Cabin, I'll start. There, nurse, I did it. Did you understand it? 3, 2, and 3. S-O-S. Did you understand it? I'll do it again. Morse code, you understand? Morse code. Watch, nurse, watch. If I had a tongue, if I had a mouth, I'd yell it at you. I'd scream it at you. But I have nothing but the tapping of my head, so watch, nurse, watch. If you turn and walk out of the room and never come back, you will be carrying my life with you. Your life and death to me, nurse. Look, I'll tap it again. See? S-O-S. Help me. S-O-S. Oh, I'll do it again. I'm praying now, nurse. Me, just an ordinary guy, I'm praying. Oh, please, God, make her understand what I'm trying to tell her. Please, God, make her understand. I know you're a busy guy. I know there are millions of people praying to you every minute. I know all these things, God, and I don't blame you for getting behind in your orders. Nobody's perfect, but what I want is such a little thing. All I want you to do is to take a tiny little idea that's in my mind and put it in her mind 2, maybe 3 feet away. That's all I want, God. Just a little idea that's in my mind and put it in her mind. It's such a little thing, God. Such a little thing. She's going away. She's gone out of the room. No, no, can't be true. Can't shove me down under the ground again, bury me deep again. No, no, I won't believe it, I won't. I won't start crying now. She'll come back. She's my life. She's my chance at life. She will come back. She will, she will, she will. Door. She's back. Brought someone with her. Man's finger on my head. What? Finger tapping on my head. Tapping out W. H. Tapping out the code on my head. A. T. W. H. A. T. What? D. O. Y. O. U. Y. O. U. U. W. A. N. T. W. A. N. T. What do you want? What do I want? What do I want? What do I want? I want to get out. Let me out. That's all I want. I've been lying here for years and years in a room in a bed with a little covering of skin. Now I want out. I've got to get out. If I had legs, I could run away. I could get away. I could get out into the open where there's air, where there's room, where I'm not in a hole and smothering. Inside me, I scream and howl and push and fight for room and air for escape from the smothering, from the loneliness. Out of here and take me back into the world. Now, I didn't tap that out. What I just said, I only was thinking. Won't say it to you waiting up there, no, Before I ask you up there, before I tap it out with my head, I've got to think out just what I'm going to tell you. It may be my last chance. I've got it. Listen, you up there. I'm tapping it out with my head. Let me out of here. I can earn my keep. I can do a job like anyone else. Take me out of here and build a glass case for me so people can see me. Take me in my glass case to the beaches, to the county fairs and the church bazaars and the circuses and the traveling carnivals. You'll do a wonderful business with me, and I could pay you for the trouble. They've never seen nothing like me. I'm something you can really holler about. I'm the dead man who's alive. The live man who's dead. I'm the man who made the world safe for democracy. Take me into the places where men work and make things. Take me there and say, boys, here's a cheap way to get by. Maybe times are bad and your salaries are low. Don't worry, boys, because you'll have your chance. There'll be another war along pretty soon, and then maybe you'll be lucky like me. Take me into the schoolhouses, all the schoolhouses in the world. They'll scream at first and have nightmares at night, but they'll get used to it because they've got to get used to it. And it's best to start them young. Take me into the colleges and universities and academies and convents. Call the girls together, all the healthy, beautiful young girls. Point to me and say, girls, here is your father. Look, girls, here is your lover. Call all the young men together and say, here is your brother, here is your best friend, and here are you, young men. Take me wherever there are parliaments and diets and congresses and chambers of statesmen. I want to be there when they talk about honor and justice and making the world safe. Put my glass case upon the speaker's desk, and every time the gavel drops, let me feel its vibration through my little glass case. Then let them draft notes and ultimatums and protests and accusations. But before they vote on them, before they give the order for all the little guys to start killing each other, let the main guy wrap his gavel on my case and point down at me and say, gentlemen, here is the only issue before this house, and that is, are you for this thing here, or are you against it? And if they are against it, then let them stand up like men and vote. And if they are for it, let them be hanged and drawn and quartered and paraded through the streets and thrown out into the fields where no clean animal will touch them. And may no green thing ever grow where they rot. Take me into your churches, your great towering cathedrals, which have to be rebuilt every 50 years because they are destroyed by war. Carry me in my glass box down the aisles where kings and priests and brides and children at their confirmations have gone so many times before to kiss a splinter of wood from a true cross on which was nailed the body of a man who was lucky enough to die. Set me high on your altars and call on God to look down upon his murderous little children, his dearly beloved little children. Then bring in the fierce ones, the spawners of hate, the inventors of slogans. Bring them in and make them look at me, and then dare them. Dare them to break the peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have brought you James Cagney playing the leading role in Dalton Trumbo's memorable novel of the year, Johnny Got His Gun. The book was dramatized for radio by Arch Oboler. The musical score was written, conducted by Gordon Jenkins. Mr. Cagney can now be seen in the Warner Brothers picture, The Fighting 69th, and in the forthcoming production, Torrid Zone. In preparation is City of Conquest. The book, Johnny Got His Gun, is the prize-winning novel by Dalton Trumbo. All of us want to thank Mr. Cagney and Mr. Trumbo for their great contribution to this program. Arch Oboler's plays are a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company. Tonight's play came to you from Hollywood's Radio City. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
All right, that is Johnny Got His Gun on Arch Oboler's plays starring Jimmy Cagney. And that was written by the great Arch Obler from March 9th, 1940. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Lisa Wolf, you know what's happening next Sunday? So a week
yes,
from tonight?
Yes, I do. It is our 100th show, and Elif is throwing us a big bash.
We have to figure something out for next week.
What do you got on tap, Elif?
Well,
what should we do for our 100th?
No. What are you doing for us?
Oh, well, like I said earlier, there will be a chocolate cake.
Just one?
Well, it's going to be a big one, life size.
Right. Who's going to jump out of it? Roger mentioned he was interested in that.
Yeah, right. That ain't happening.
I was going to tell you Roger was going to jump out of it.
See? We're all thinking about you, Roger.
It's a little plastic Roger kind of figure.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
All right, good.
Well, Mike could be carrying the plastic Roger figure and jump out of it with it.
Okay.
All right. That sounds
good. That's it? You got anything else?
I was thinking, well, Carl mentioned bikinis, and
yeah,
I thought maybe a
luau. I did mention bikinis.
And maybe what?
A luau. Yeah,
a luau
that's
theme.
A great idea.
All right. Bring the Mai Tais, and I'm there.
Sounds all right. Great. All right, so we're going to do something. We're going to have to do something for a week from tonight. But you know who will be here a week from tonight?
I will.
Well, yes, you will. But Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride, will be here to give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. So, folks, if you have not gotten your entry in, just take a picture of your cat. Maybe take a selfie with you and your cat and email it to us here at catspridephoto@gmail.com. And make sure you do it right away, because we're going to take all of those pictures and Dan will choose one. He'll take it, you know, just randomly out of a hat, and that person will win a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. So send it, picture of your cat with your name and your city and state and your cat's name, and then send it to catspridephoto@gmail.com. Right, Lisa? Did
Whatever
I cover all the bases
say, Carl,
there?
Carl, you are always right.
Did I cover all the...
Always.
All the bases.
You always cover the bases.
That's what I said.
It was a grand slam.
Ah, very, very good.
You never
good.
Argue with Carl, Roger. That's what I've learned.
Oh, yeah.
Who could?
You know?
With a
right?
face like
it's,
that,
it's
who
futile,
could?
Right?
I do have a face for radio. There's no doubt about
well,
that.
Well, we know that.
Definitely. All right. So in our next hour, we're going to tune into Suspense with James Cagney. And then we're going to tune into the Screen Guild Theater with James Cagney. That's all in the next couple of hours in our salute to James Cagney. And you know what, Roger?
What?
I remembered the name. It was back in one of the crevices of my brain. I have lots of crevices back
right.
there.
They're not only in his brain, the
spider.
Crevices.
There's spider webs and all kinds of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I pulled this out of a crevice.
Okay.
Which one?
And it was...
Did you wash it off before you brought it out? I hope so.
Yes, I'm very clean, too.
Thank you.
Like Lisa's, very clean. And it was Mae Clarke. Mae Clarke is who was the recipient of the grapefruit in the face.
Oh, okay,
from
yeah.
Jimmy, and it was Public Enemy, I believe.
Public
the movie.
Enemy,
yeah. Public Enemy. So she's not on any of these radio shows.
She didn't do the radio stuff,
No,
huh?
She didn't do any of these radio. But okay. but it's Mae Clarke. Yeah, that's
yeah.
who.
Whoosh, yeah, they were sitting like, there at breakfast, like, and she was giving him some lip, and he
right.
said,
oh, yeah.
I'll give you a breakfast.
And he really blasted her with that thing.
Got
remember?
Her real good.
Got her
yeah.
really. All right, so in the next hour, we have more classic radio coming your way. Hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. It is 12:08 on a Monday morning, Lisa Wolf.
You read the clock correctly, Carl.
I did for
that
once.
That was good news.
And it is our 98th show. This is show 98. You have put up with me for 98 shows.
Oh, I've put up with you a lot longer than that, but that's all that we've done here.
Let's
at
do the math. 98 shows times 3 hours. So it's like almost 300 hours of broadcasting here on WGN. 300 hours.
I am very
of putting
good,
up with me.
I'm very good natured.
I'll say you're very patient, and which I could make you a patient in a mental hospital.
Could you
working with me for another 300 hours? Can you imagine?
That was confusing.
That's a lot of Lisa.
It's a lot of Carl time.
You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, this is hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. And we We're here every Saturday and Sunday. We're here 2 days a week.
You got? You sure you know which days we're
coming? I had a little brain freeze there for a second.
Saturday and Sunday.
You know? You know when you have something too cold, you know, like an ice cream, and you get a little brain freeze?
Did you see the video that's going around the internet right now about cats?
No.
They when they eat ice cream, I don't know if anybody else saw that, they lick the ice cream and they get a brain freeze. They do but their mouth like goes wide open. I know it's radio, but it goes like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny.
That was not attractive.
That's pretty.
That was not. Like, please don't do that again. Because you sort of look like a Jerry Lewis, but with long hair.
I think that's a compliment.
Yeah. Jerry Lewis is a handsome man. That's yep. why. So, yeah, we're here Saturday and Sundays from 11 till 2, and we play all these classic radio shows. And next week, we have a full weekend of detectives, the best, six of the best detective shows of all time. Right?
Yes, and we have our 100th. Show party with something's, Roger's going to jump out of a cake and
gonna
Alex's going to bring us a luau with Mai Tais and it's all going to be fun.
I got to say, I'm not sure what's going to happen next Sunday, but it's going to be spectacular,
yeah.
Whatever it is.
The biggest show ever.
Right? Okay, sounds good. In this hour, we're going to tune into Suspense, a terrific episode with James Cagney. And then in our next hour, it's the Screen Guild Theater with Night Must Fall with James Cagney. So it's our salute to Jimmy Cagney. And yeah, you dirty rat, you killed my brother. Yeah, nah.
You're looking for Roger. He's
good.
Not there.
It's sort of a cross between Peter Lorre and James Cagney. I think there was like a little cross between mm-hmm. the two of them there, plus Carl Amari.
Yeah, a little Carlness.
Well, three of them in there.
It's a lot of Carl.
It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
This actor will star as the voice of the power-hungry principal in the film Captain Underpants, an adaptation of the children's books.
What do they win?
They will win a pair of tickets to the comedy classic The Odd Couple at Theater at the Center.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor was one of the stars of The Hangover.
Hey, Phil, am I missing a tooth?
All right, give us a call if you know who that is.
Love that.
312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
Welcome back. This is show 98 of the WGN Radio Theater. Let's play that movie clip again.
Hey, Phil, am I missing a tooth?
Oh, that's funny. I love that scene. Aleph spoke to Steve from Bensonville, who was able to correctly identify Ed Helms as the voice of the guy who lost a tooth in that scene in The Hangover. And, of course, he was in The Office, and he's a great comedic actor.
Right, and he's going to play, what's that? What is he?
Well, in any event, Steve has won a pair of tickets. Did you say something?
To
no. The comedy classic The Odd Couple. It's playing yeah. right now through August 14th at Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana, and you can check them out at theateratthecenter.com.
And you know who is not starring as Felix Unger and Oscar Madison in that?
You and me.
That's right. We're not the stars of that.
No,
although,
but we could do
I
that.
I think we could, actually. That would be interesting to have a man and a woman playing those two characters.
I
you know that?
I think that would work.
Yeah. I saw this play on Broadway, yeah, with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
Very cool. And then
I've seen this play many times.
Our buddy Mike Starr was playing the cop.
Oh,
you know,
right.
What was the name?
Yeah,
I
know you're talking about.
The cop.
Yeah, I know.
And then he took me backstage, and I got to meet Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick.
I mean, I read the play.
Matthew
it's
Broderick
a great
is
play.
Very shy.
I met him once.
He's kind of shy in real life.
He's a Broadway
He was
Chicago.
Kind of like, oh, I am.
Yeah, he's kind of a quieter feel to
I
him.
I mean, we're talking about Ferris
well,
Bueller here.
You've yeah. got Nathan Lane in the same room. I mean, you know, he's such a big personality
oh, yeah.
compared to Matthew Broderick. There has to be some give and take there.
It was cool to go backstage at a Broadway play. And
oh, you're
meet
talking to Broadway Lisa
Miss
here.
Miss Broadway. Lisa, Broadway Lisa.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, and that was really cool. It was a great play.
Well, I'm sure this is a great play as well. So congratulations to Steve.
Okay. All right. It is time for Suspense. We play a lot of suspense here on the WGN Radio Theater because it is one of the greatest radio shows of all time. And we have a terrific episode for you now called No Escape. It's sponsored by Autolite. It stars Jimmy Cagney and in the cast, Loreen Tuttle and Paul Frees doing the announcing. And good old Harlow Wilcox pops up on this.
Right.
He's a commercial spokesperson for Autolite. Let's go back to December 16th, 1948 for part one of No Escape on Suspense.
In just a moment, Autolite presents Suspense with Jimmy Cagney.
Hello. Tonight, I understand we have an Autolite Suspense special. Every bit as special as your star performance as the Autolite-resistant spark plug maestro.
Is that a plug for me or for my favorites, Autolite-resistant spark plugs, Hap?
Well, with no offense to either Harlow, it's neither. Tonight, Jimmy Cagney and Autolite and Suspense are dramatizing one of our great American tragedies. It's so tremendous a problem, it warrants our entire nation warring against its grimness and the Grim Reaper who is its symbol. Tonight's Suspense story will remind you to drive carefully behind Autolite resistor spark plugs or any other, Harlow.
Then let's join the Autolite audience and listen.
Suspense. Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations bring you radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Starring tonight, Mr. James Cagney in Anton Leder's production of No Escape, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
The only thing I can do now is tell you how it happened, without any bunk. I don't care what you've heard or read about me. I'm not a devil or a mad dog. I don't know what people think happens to a fella. Do they think all of a sudden I turned into stone? I'm no different than anybody else. If I don't eat, I get hungry. If I cut myself shaving, I bleed. I'm just like the next guy, and that's the whole idea. This, it happened to me, sure, but it would have happened to anybody. It could have happened to you. It was supposed to have been one of them days you circle on the calendar with a red pencil. You see, with a little town like ours, 23 miles from the big city, right on the main highway, we get the speed artists going both ways. Yeah, and every couple of days they manage to leave something behind to remember them by. Like a kid with a broken back or, well, you get the idea. So a couple of years ago, the Chamber of Commerce started a safety campaign to name the safest driver of the year. Something to kind of keep the guys on their toes. And this year, the fellow they chose for the award was yours truly. And tonight was the big doings with a few well-chosen words from me, a lad who was a public speaker, was a wonderful bus driver. I got to the house a little after 6. Teddy, my kid brother, was just leaving.
Hiya, big shot.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, the world's champion driver.
That's me, all right.
Hey, that's a swell picture of you in the paper. You don't look so bad for an older man.
Right, or I'll beat your ears in.
Say, Eve called to say you should wear your blue suit and try to look human.
That I would like to see. Me too.
Sorry, I can't wait, though. I'm late for a date. I'll see you in the morning, and you can tell me how you slayed.
All right, Ted. So long. I gave myself the works. Shower, shave, the blue suit, like the lady said. Eve looked after me like I was at least 5 years old. But I didn't mind a bit. Ever since Ma died in 42, I'd kept the house going for Teddy, because a kid needs something like that. But he was getting out of school in June, and then maybe Eve and I... Well, it was nice thinking about it. So nice that I guess I forgot all about the time that was passing. Yeah?
Look, slow motion. You should be halfway over here by now.
Okay, Eve, honey. Got the speech ready?
Yes, but if you don't get moving, you'll be making that speech to a bunch of empty chairs and dirty plates.
Yes, Mama. Be right over. Eve lived outside of town. I'd really have to step on it to pick her up and spend some time rehearsing the speech and then get to the high school auditorium by 8. I got into the car, and I decided to take the canyon road through the hills where there wasn't any traffic. I could make better time that way. Now, wait just a second. Let me get my thoughts together. I got to get this part exactly right. You got to see it just like it happened, or else it's all a waste of time. All right. I was on the canyon road that wound up through the steep hills, the wall of the mountain on one side of the road, and the deep canyon on the other, about 10 to 7, but already dark. Nobody on the road but me, so I stuck pretty close to the middle. And at every turn, the scream of the tires. But I wasn't worried about that. 4 brand new tires, hardly a week old, and good brakes. I never take chances with things like that. going about 50 miles an hour, maybe a little bit better. But I was all alone on the road, so what difference did it make? I was maybe two-thirds of the way up to the top, right where the road makes a wide curve. I remember I put a cigarette in my mouth, and I pushed the dashboard lighter in. I heard the lighter click, and I started reaching for it. And then, a pair of headlights blazing out of nowhere. And then a screeching horn, a car coming the other way. I felt my inside double up like a fist. I slammed my foot on the brake, swung the steering wheel to the right. I didn't feel anything hit, and I thought, oh, God, it's going to be okay. I jammed on the emergency. I jerked the door open. Now look back. The road was empty. I still heard the horn, though, but far away, and another sound, too, like a bunch of empty crates topping over and over. And at first, it didn't register with me. For maybe half a second, I just stood there wondering what happened. Then I saw the reflection of the flame lighting up the whole canyon. I went to the side of the road and looked down. The car was about 500 feet below, burning. And the horn still blasting away, like the driver's body had fallen against it. I started down the canyon. It was almost straight down. I fell and I rolled and I came to my feet again. Why didn't that horn stop? Why didn't it stop? And then it did stop. And I realized that I had stopped too. What was I waiting for? Well, to get my wind, that's all. I went down another few feet. And I stopped again, holding myself against the tree. Come on. Come on, Harry. Get going. No. What good would it do to go down there? I couldn't help whoever was in that car. It was too late. Nobody could help. Then far down the road, I saw another pair of headlights starting the long climb. I went back to my car. I told myself I was going for help. I drove on to the top of the hill. There was a little gas station up there. They'd have a phone. I was almost there. An old fellow in white overalls was putting around the pumps. I started slowing down. My whole life was about to be smashed. I'd have to tell them the truth, and what good would it do? What about Eve? What about my kid brother, Teddy? What's more important than a man's own family? I'd reached the gravel driveway to the gas station. The old guy heard me coming and started straightening up. No. I swung back onto the highway and pushed the accelerators to the floor. I got to Eve's house a little before 7:30. It was funny. I thought I was okay until I reached for the door handle. And then my fingers seemed to go dead, and my heart started going a mile a minute.
Harry, is that you?
That's me. I'm sorry. Sorry I'm late, Eve.
Where in heaven's name have you been? Honestly, if you aren't the most aggravating... Harry Graham. What?
Huh?
Look at you. You look like you've been run through a threshing machine.
Yeah, I know. Let's go in and out. I'll clean up a little.
Well, what in the world happened?
I had a flat tire. I had to change it on the road.
Flat tire? Oh, fine. All right, wait right here. I'll get the whisk broom. Of all things to happen tonight.
All right. Happened. Lay off, will you?
Harry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, don't just stand there. While I'm doing this, take your comb out and start combing your hair.
Took my comb out and turned toward the hall mirror. Funny, I didn't look any different than yesterday or the day before that. I was still Harry Graham. After he finished with me, we went back to the car. Get in.
I tell you what, you're so upset anyhow. Why don't you let me drive into town?
Okay, if you want to.
See now, I turn left at the next block, don't I, for the Canyon Road?
Canyon Road?
Yes, we can save some time going that way.
No.
Huh?
No, I don't want to go to Canyon Road. I want you to go the regular way.
But we're going to be late.
Do what I tell you. I'll drive the car myself.
But Harry, we always...
Do what I tell you, Eve.
All right. I'd have to bite my head off. What have you got against Canyon Road?
It's too dangerous at night.
Well, all I've got to say is that when they picked you for the safest driver of the year, Harry Graham, they really hit the jackpot.
We got to the high school auditorium just a couple of minutes late. But as it turned out, we weren't the only ones late. When we got to the main table, I saw that the chair next to mine was empty. Police Chief Blake, who was supposed to introduce me for my speech, hadn't showed up yet. Then when the dinner was ended, Chief Blake came through the door, and he looked awful. He went over to the chairman of the meeting and whispered something, pointing at me. And then he started for me, and I thought my heart would quit beating. I was looking for a way to escape. Maybe when...
Hello, Harry.
Oh, hello, Chief. Hello.
Folks. Folks, please. I'm sorry I'm so late. I've just come from Canyon Road. Another terrible accident. Car went over the canyon. Four people killed and burned. We still haven't gotten them out of the wreckage. It looks like they were forced off the road. Another dirty hit-and-run case.
Oh, that's terrible.
My boys are up there now looking for traces of this other car. I don't have to tell you that we're going to keep on looking till we find out who it was. That's why I had one of my boys bring me back to town here to this meeting tonight. Because now it's even more important to let a fellow like our friend Harry Graham here know we appreciate his good work and wish to the saints there were more like him. Yes, after what I just saw on Canyon Road, I'm really proud of Harry Graham.
For Suspense, Autolite is bringing you Mr. James Cagney in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Lisa likes the mysteries. She always wants me to play mysteries.
I am a mystery.
You are, definitely. So this is the first portion of No Escape, starring James Cagney on Suspense. We'll get back to it in a few minutes. Just a few minutes ago, there was a Mies Meals. I voice some of them, and Lisa voices other ones. Right?
We don't voice the same ones.
No, we voice different ones. But then you tag mine and I tag yours. Like, tag your it. Remember Sea Spot Run? Remember those books when we were kids? Sea Spot Run? You remember those?
Yes. I'm just giving you a hard time.
That was my last year in school when we had those books. But I digress. So Mies Meals, we had a text earlier from someone saying, is Mies Meals still giving away dinner for two delivered to our home? And we wrote back, yes, they are. So, folks, if you would like to try Mies Meals, and this is for everyone listening, you can get dinner for two delivered to your home absolutely free by Mies Meals. And the reason why they're doing this is because they feel everybody is going to be so happy with Mies Meals, they're going to want to become regular customers. Now, that's totally up to you, but you should try it for free. Try Mies Meals. Just go to their website, M-E-E-Z Meals, miesmeals.com, and order something from, like, there's 10 or 12 items that you can choose, and then it's delivered right to your home. Lisa does it every single week. I do it every week, but Lisa does it every week, too. Right,
I do.
Lisa?
I look forward to every Monday, and they deliver it in a cooler with ice packs. I've chosen what I want to eat from the menu the week before, and it's at my door on Monday, and so I know exactly what I'm making for dinner Monday night, and we make it together. So it's a lot easier for me.
You and I don't make it together.
No, we don't make it together.
No,
Lisa
never invites me over for Mies Meals or a regular meal.
You did have dinner at my house.
One time.
How many times have I been to your house?
Once.
Okay,
all
so
right.
We're even.
So
we can't like be together on Saturday and Sunday and then spend another night together. That's just too much.
But now here's how it worked. You invited me to your house.
Right.
And then I invited you to my house.
Right.
So I think it's your turn to invite me to your house.
Yeah.
It's just the way it works.
Right.
You know, but I would come over and have some Mies Meals.
All right.
So, and I would help you make it. It only takes about 20 minutes to make it.
All right. All right. Let's do that.
All right.
Let's
Sounds
do it.
Good.
All right.
So
if you want your free dinner for two delivered to your door, go to miesmeals.com, M-E-E-Z meals.com, and enter promo code radio, and you will be charged zero.
Right.
Zip.
Including,
absolutely nothing.
Including the delivery. Zip.
Delivery, nothing. You will be charged nothing. You can pick anything you want. It makes no difference. Free dinner for two. Go for the steak, you know?
Now, definitely try it out. We want all of our listeners to try this. It's a terrific company, and we love Mies Meals, and so we know you will, too. All right, let's get back now to this episode of Jimmy Cagney starring on Suspense.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. James Cagney as Harry in No Escape. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
I had to keep my eyes on the table. I couldn't even look at the chief as he stood there praising me. All I could see was that burning wreck at the foot of the cliff, and all I could hear was that awful horn blowing. I had to bite my lips to keep from screaming, I did it.
Harry. Harry.
What? Oh, what?
Open your feet, son. We'd like to hear a few words from you.
Yeah. Oh, look, Chief, folks. I don't think anybody wants to listen to me tonight. Please, let's forget it.
No, Harry. Now more than ever, we should hear what a fellow like you has to say.
Come on, Harry.
But listen.
Go on, Harry.
Oh, well, all right. I'm afraid I'm no great shakes as a speech maker. Just a lucky thing my girl's a good English teacher. I don't believe we should honor a man for safe driving any more than we should honor him because he's never killed anyone with a gun. When a man gets behind the wheel of a car, he doesn't give up his responsibilities to his fellow men. No one can escape the responsibility of being his brother's keeper. And that goes for...
Harry, what's
wrong? Listen to me. How can I stand up here and read a speech after what Chief Blake just told us? No, can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't do it.
I guess Harry's right after all, folks. I guess maybe we just better call the meeting off. I know I've got to get back to Canyon Road as soon as I can.
Come on, Eve. Come on. Let's get out of here.
All right, honey.
Oh, Harry.
Yeah, Chief?
You can do me a big favor. Huh? Fellow brought me down here. I had to beat it right back to the accident.
Oh, so?
I've got to get back there myself right away. Hmm. Can you give me a lift?
I sure like to, Chief, but, well, I've got to get Eve home.
Well, you could take me home by the way of Canyon Road. We've gone that way before, honey.
But
I'd be much obliged to you, Harry.
Well, you see, Chief, it's...
Harry!
Okay, let's go.
It's too bad the meeting had to end like this. But I have a hunch you feel like I do, Harry. Like you can't sit still till you find the rat who killed those people. Well, I promise you this, Harry. Whoever he is, we'll get him.
Yeah, wasn't that one for the book? Less than 2 hours after my accident with the other car going over into the canyon, I was back on Canyon Road. Only this time with Eve sitting behind me and the chief of police in back.
Harry, you don't mind, could you step on it a little bit? I promise you, I won't give you a ticket.
Okay, Chief.
Honey, push the lighter in, will you?
Lighter?
For my cigarette.
Oh, sure. This speed better, Chief?
Fine.
Harry hates this road. I wanted him to take it earlier tonight.
That's all right if you got good tires.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that. Had 4 brand new ones put on just last week. Oh, here's your light, Eve.
Eve?
Huh? Oh, thanks.
Her voice didn't sound right. Then I remembered. When I picked her up tonight, I told her the reason I was so messed up was that I'd had to change a tire. She was thinking about that now. I knew she was, trying to figure out why I'd lied to her. Nobody said anything after that. When we reached the part of the road just before it made the big bend, I started slowing down. I hope I got you here quick enough, Chief.
Yeah, you did fine.
Is this where it was?
Yeah, just around this bend.
Yeah, that's right.
But how did...
Huh?
Nothing.
Again, I'd said the wrong thing. What was the matter with me? How was I supposed to know that accident was around the bend? I was cutting my own throat, but now I'd made the turn and there was the red flares burning on the road and a big crash truck at the edge of the canyon and police cars blocking the highway.
Just pull over the side, Harry.
Okay.
Now, they're coming down there, Fraser.
Oh, hello, Chief. You're ready to start bringing them up soon.
That's a walkie-talkie he's working with?
Yeah. Keeps contact with the men down the canyon. Say, Harry, why don't you come along with me and really see how we work here?
Oh, thanks, but I've got to get Yvonne home. The school teacher's got to get up early. Isn't that right, baby?
Well, I don't mind waiting if you'd like to stay.
Huh?
Yeah, come along, Harry.
I don't mind waiting, Harry.
Now it was me against all of them. Oh, I was sick about that car down there in the canyon, those 4 bodies inside. But, well, nothing could change that now. And I was fighting for my own life. And they wouldn't break me down. I stood with my foot on the bumper and Chief Blake leaning against the fender of my car while his boys gave their reports about the hit-and-run car and didn't bother me a bit. 2 of them told about the plaster cast they made of a tire mark they found on the road. Does it help you any, Chief?
Not much, Harry. No tire. A lot of people have new tires. You, for instance.
Yeah. I kicked my new front tire for them. Kicked it hard. They brought over an old fella in white overalls. The guy in the service station where I'd almost turned in to report the accident. The chief asked him if he thought the car he'd seen was a hit and run.
It must have been. Just about that time, you know. And the way this fella skedoodled away for no reason at all. I don't know what kind of a car it was, though. A black sedan, I'd say.
Like this one, maybe?
Well, might be. Might be that. But there's too dark to be sure.
Well, first thing tomorrow, I'm going to get myself a green convertible. And everybody got a good laugh out of that, but I would have to be careful. Mustn't go too far. It was me against all of them, and I felt the kind of excitement that a guy might get from walking a tightrope. Thinking back now, sure seems screwy, but that's how I felt. And maybe that is the worst thing that happens to a guy in my spot. The way it turns you into a wild animal against the world.
Chief Blake.
Hey, yeah, Charlie.
It was the fellow with the walkie-talkie over near the crash truck.
We're ready to start bringing up the bodies.
Okay. Come on, Harry. Let's go over.
Something flopped coldly in my stomach and then lay still. This was the test. If they didn't break me down now, they could never do it, never in a million years. All the people who'd come up in the town started gathering around the crash truck. I wanted to run and never stop running. But I didn't move. And just then, the first body swung into view. And you could hear everyone in the crowd suck in his breath. And I bit down hard on my lip till I tasted blood. A brown blanket wrapped neatly around something. And then the bundle rested on the ground. And everyone seemed to edge away from it like it could hurt them. And the cable went down into the valley again. And then there was a second bundle. And then there was a third. And then a fourth. And over like a drum beat, like a prayer, I told myself they wouldn't break me down. And then someone pushed forward from the crowd. Joe Mandel, the little tailor. He seemed shy and embarrassed, as though he had no business being here.
Chief Blake.
Huh? Oh, yeah, Joe.
My boy, Philip, he didn't come home for supper tonight, and I...
You want to look?
Well, you know how a woman is. Rose will feel better if I tell her, okay, I looked, and it wasn't... Well, you know.
All right, Joe. Doesn't hurt none.
Thank you. No. No. I better go back to my house.
Sorry, Joe. Wait a minute.
Yes?
Do you know who Phil was going to be with tonight?
His best friend was Mike Roebuck. They were always together. The Goldust twins, everybody called them.
Thanks, Joe.
Excuse me, Chief. I must go to Rose now.
Fraser!
Yes, Chief.
Get back to town. Go over to the Roebucks. Don't tell them anything is wrong. Just see if Mike's home.
Okay.
I couldn't take any more. I started back for the car. My legs felt like they weighed a ton. I heard a sudden movement in the crowd behind me.
Oh, no! Oh, my baby! My baby!
They wouldn't break me down. They wouldn't break me down. I opened the car door. And Eve was there. I'd almost forgotten her. And I was sure she knew the truth.
They brought up all four?
Yeah.
Harry.
I don't want to hear anything now. I'm taking you home.
Wait, Harry.
Listen, I'm telling you.
Kiss me, Harry.
What?
Hold me and kiss me. I'm such a stupid fool. Hold me.
All right. Now stop it. Stop it.
Harry. If you knew what's been going through my mind.
Okay, stop it.
Just a fool, a stupid fool. And then when I saw you come back to the car, the look on your face. Oh, Harry, how could I have ever thought?
All right. Now, we'll talk about it later.
I'll never talk about it again. Never, Harry.
Oh. So, it was all over with. I was going to be okay. God, I wasn't proud. I felt rotten and sick. And now that it was all over, the strength ran out of me like water running out of a glass. But what good would it have been to crucify myself? It wouldn't have changed anything. I wasn't a bad guy. It could have happened to anybody. And now I was going to be able to take care of my own, Eve, and my kid brother Teddy. Was that a bad guy? A fellow who wanted to do right for his family? I started the car, and I put in gear, and looking at me through the windows was Chief Blake, signaling me to wait. I turned the key off. Well, whatever it was, I was very tired.
Come on out, Harry.
But I've got to get Eve home.
Come on out of the car.
But,
Harry, do like I tell you. Come with me.
What do you want?
Come with me. You drove up here tonight. I didn't think it would end like this.
You know about it?
You, of all people, Harry.
Listen, you've got to believe me.
It shouldn't have happened to a fella like you.
You've got to hear my side.
Right here, Harry.
Huh? Huh? What do you...
Take a look at this fourth body.
Why should I?
Pull the blanket back, Harry.
Oh, no. No. Teddy. Teddy! That's it. The whole works. I don't care what you heard or read in the papers. That's the story. Just like it happened. No bunk. And thinking back, I guess I kind of hit the nail on the head in that speech that I made that night. You know, that part about no man can ever escape the responsibility of being his brother's keeper.
Thank you, James Cagney, for a magnificent performance. And now here again is Mr. James Cagney.
It's always a pleasure to appear on Suspense, but I was especially pleased when Tony Leader asked me to do tonight's story. That's because I feel strongly about the kind of thing that happened to Harry Graham. I believe that any person who gets behind the wheel of a car assumes a great responsibility to himself, to his family, to his fellow men. That one moment of carelessness or recklessness or drunkenness can mean a lifetime of pain and misery for someone. And it might be you or me. Yes, when you're driving an automobile, we are our brother's keeper. Over the holiday season and all the time, drive carefully. Next week on radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Herbert Marshall will appear in a story with a Christmas atmosphere. Another study in...
Suspense.
James Cagney is now appearing in the photoplay of William Saroyan's prize stage hit, The Time of Your Life. Copies of tonight's suspense play, No Escape, by Larry Marcus, will be available for educational use by groups interested in highway safety. They may be obtained by writing Suspense, the Columbia Broadcasting System, Hollywood, California. Music was composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. In the coming week, Suspense will present such stars as Ronald Coleman, Robert Montgomery, Dana Andrews, and Frank Sinatra. Make it a point to listen each Thursday to Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills. And next Thursday, same time, hear Herbert Marshall.
This is the Autolite Suspense Show. All right, Mr. Wilcox.
Autolite and CBS wish to thank the radio editors and columnists of America for electing Suspense as the best mystery show in the annual balloting conducted by Motion Picture Daily for the magazine Fame.
Good night. Switch to Autolite.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
One of the greatest radio series of all time, Suspense. Almost 1,000 episodes between 1942 and 1962. It had a long run, and it was billed as radio's outstanding theater of thrills. It had the biggest names in Hollywood on that show. And right there, you had James Cagney. I mean, Cagney didn't do a lot of radio, Lisa. He was a big movie star. I mean, he was doing all kinds of movies. But once in a while, he would show up on radio, and he'd do all the best shows, including Lux Theater and Suspense. You heard him here. I think he only did a couple of Suspense episodes. Hope you enjoyed that. It was called No Escape from December 16th, 1948. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Okay, hour three of the WGN Radio Theater. It's 106 in the morning. Happy Monday morning to you. This is program 98 in the series, which means next Sunday is 100 shows, Lisa. We're going to hit triple digits.
Yeah.
Triple digits.
So what does that mean, Carl?
I think
what
that means
do?
That we have to have a party or a siesta.
Or a fiesta. Carl's ready to take a nap.
I normally do take a siesta.
I noticed that.
You know, when these shows are like really long, the long segments, I take a little cat nap.
Yeah.
You know?
As soon as you start snoring, I wake you right up.
We are sponsored by Cat's Pride, so it's an homage to the sponsor. I take a little cat nap every once in a while. But no, I'm not taking a cat nap on Suspense, though, because I'm glued to my chair when I'm listening to Suspense. Right? Crazy glued.
I didn't want to make a joke. I'll leave it sit.
Well, crazy glued to my chair. So in this hour of the WGN Radio Theater, we're going to tune in to the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players presentation of Night Must Fall with Cary Grant. James Cagney and Rosemary DeCamp.
Do you need a siesta or a fiesta?
No, I actually had like 12 cups of coffee. I'm pretty good right now. I'm kind of hopped up, actually.
Good.
I'm a little, you know, a little hopped up. And Lisa and I and Elif, we've figured out something we're going to start doing pretty soon for our listeners. We're going to have a little Videolicious. Is that what it's called, Elif? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what the app is called.
Oh, okay. But, it's an app? What's that? I'm not sure what an app is.
We're going to start posting some videos, so you guys can look forward to that starting, I think, next week. We're going to
work
on it.
Is that in my contract, though, that I have to take video?
We got to pay extra for that.
Really? Okay.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Then
Elif, you're going to pay us
pay
for
involved,
that, right?
I'm going to pay you.
Elif's
yeah.
going to pay us to do it for
you.
Her.
I do pretty much anything for money, so I'm fine with that. Whatever you want me to do, Miss Elif, I will do it.
Okay.
So, no, we're going to have some fun. We're going to do these little video-licious things.
They're going to be delicious videos.
And we're going to post them on the weekends. We're not sure what day yet. And they're going to be little trivia questions and stuff like that. And the listeners could email us and tell us.
No, they'll comment underneath it.
Okay, whatever. We haven't completely figured it out yet, but I'm very excited about it. I'm going to be thinking about it tonight.
You're going to be dreaming about Videolicious.
I'm going to be dreaming about it.
That sounds like a site of something else.
Videolicious.
It sounds like something
else.
Sounds
very, very.
Anywho.
Sounds tasty. I'll tell you that.
Okay, we're going down the wrong path.
All right, so all of this fun Videoliciousness and classic radio is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor will star in the comedy The House as a husband who teams up with his wife to start an illegal casino in his basement. Now, that's an idea.
And I like that.
You recognize this actor's voice. You will win two tickets to the comedy classic The Odd Couple. What a great play playing right now at Theater at the Center.
All righty. 312-981-7200. That's the number to call. Get on the air and identify this actor. He played Ron Burgundy.
It's quite pungent.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
312-981-7200. Give us a call. Tell us who Ron Burgundy is. And we'll be right back.
Now we are back playing Celebrity Scoop, and let's play that movie clip one more time.
It's quite pungent.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it's a formidable scent.
Stings the nostrils.
And we've got Thomas from Bourbonnais. Hi, Thomas.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Okay.
Good. Who is that voice?
Will Ferrell.
Yes. Right? Yes, you are. Are you a fan of Will Ferrell?
Oh, yeah, I love him.
I think everybody loves Will Ferrell, even Carl.
He's hilarious.
You are a winner. We're so excited to give you two tickets to the comedy classic The Odd Couple. It's playing right now through August 14th at Theater at the Center, which is in Munster, Indiana. And you can check them out at theateratthecenter.com. Thomas, thank you so much for calling in and for staying up with us.
Oh, thank you. I love your show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Thomas.
Take care.
I appreciate that very much. Thanks for tuning in. We're here Saturday and Sunday nights from 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning playing your favorite classic radio shows, and we have a terrific episode for you now. This is the Lady Esther Screen Guild Theater, and this is going back to July 24th, 1944. James Cagney stood before the CBS microphones to appear in Night Must Fall. Let's tune into part one now of the Lady Esther Screen Guild Theater.
Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players. The Lady Esther Screen Guild play tonight, Night Must Fall. The starring players...
This is James Cagney.
This is Rosemary DeCamp.
And this is Mae Whitty.
Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild players in Emlyn Williams' fascinating study of a psychopathic mind, Night Must Fall, adapted from the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture. It stars Rosemary DeCamp as Olivia, James Cagney as Danny, and Dame Mae Whitty as Mrs. Bramson. The Lady Esther Screen Guild players in Night Must Fall.
I can still hear him sometimes. I can still hear him whistling that tune. It's only in my mind, I know. But I'm like a child that's been left alone in the dark. Frightened, terrified, till I think I'm going mad. I know now that it began for me with that little paragraph in our local paper. A tiny item that didn't concern me. But somehow, I never knew why, I was secretly disturbed. I remember that I turned to my aunt and said, Auntie, the papers say a woman has disappeared from the summer hotel. A Mrs. Chalfont.
A Mrs. Chalfont? What's that to us? We don't know her, do we?
No, but suppose something's happened to her. Suppose she's been...
Oh, now you're going to say she's murdered. Rubbish. I'll have another one of those chocolates.
My aunt was like that, always sharp and irritable. She wasn't well, you see. At least she'd convinced herself she wasn't. A professional invalid who loved her wheelchair. She'd been in a horrible mood that morning. Dora, the maid, had broken several cups. That had meant a scolding, of course, and a threat of dismissal. The girl had cried and said she hadn't been herself. She'd been having trouble with her gentleman.
He's a page boy, Mum. Over to the hotel. He's been treating me fair awful, yes.
A good-for-nothing scoundrel.
Oh, he's really not. He's mighty sweet when he wants to be. And nice too, Mum. They call him Babyface.
Babyface, indeed. Oh, I'd like to give him a piece of my mind.
Mrs. Bromson, would you?
Would I what?
See him? Talk to him? He said he'd be dropping over this morning. Maybe if you had a word with him, Mum?
Yes, I certainly will. You send him in when he gets here, Dora. I'll deal with him all right.
It was just before noon when he came. There was something about him from the very first. Smiling, familiar. Almost, but not quite, insolent. An unlit cigarette in his mouth. And then when he spoke...
Morning, folks. Well, so you're Babyface.
That's me. Silly name, isn't it?
You smoke, I see.
Yes, my Mike. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm always forgetting my company manners. I'll put it right out.
Well, then, you know why I've sent for you.
Yes, ma'am, I think so.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, I am.
Then you might as well... What's the time?
11:30, I think. Olivia?
Yes, Auntie.
You've forgotten my medicine again. It's half an hour late.
I'm so sorry. I have it right here.
You know it doesn't do me any good unless it's taken regularly.
That's right, Mum. A lady that's delicate like you has got to be watching herself, she has.
Indeed, I must. And I'm thankful someone recognizes it.
Here you are, Auntie.
Filthy stuff.
Say, why don't you eat one of them chocolates, Mum? Some candy would be taking the taste away.
That's an excellent idea. Olivia, you'd never think of suggesting that. All you want from me is...
Butcher's here.
Oh, very well, Dora. I'll be right out.
Would you like me to wheel you, Mum?
I can wheel myself, young man. You wait here with my niece. I'll only be a moment or two.
I'll bet she's something to be living with, all right. Especially for a girl like you. Must get pretty lonesome, eh?
Look, there's one thing you may as well understand. I happen to be employed by my aunt, but I'm not quite in Dora's position.
You don't like me, do you?
No.
Well, everyone else does, including Mrs. Bramson.
If you think you can annoy me by playing up to my aunt...
Playing up?
You may as well forget it. It won't get you anywhere.
It won't, eh? And would you like to bet me?
He was very sure of himself. Sure of my aunt. And, yes, I can say it now. Sure of me, too. It was almost frightening to watch him spin his web. The eager attention when my aunt spoke. The shrewd little flatteries. The mock humility. Before he left that morning, she'd offered him a job. That very afternoon, he moved in. I remember I was sitting with my aunt.
Olivia, don't sit there mooning. Take a look at the afternoon papers. See if there's any more about that Chalfont woman.
There was something on the front page, I think. Oh, yes, here it is. It is reported that on the night Mrs. Chalfont disappeared, someone was heard moving mysteriously in the woods and whistling Mighty Like a Rose.
That shows how hard they are up for news. Mighty Like a Rose, indeed. Just rubbish, that's all.
Well, here's your Danny boy, Mrs. Bramson. All fixed and settled.
I'm wearing the shawl you brought me, Danny. You know, it was very sweet of you. Your own mother's shawl.
That's the least I could do. The way you've taken me in, given me a home.
I like you, Danny. You're a good boy. And now it's time for my afternoon nap.
As you are, Mum. I'll wheel you in. So, you know, this chair is awful stiff. Must be awful hard work pulling yourself around. I could put it right in a jiffy with a drop of oil now.
In here, Danny. This is my room.
Almost went right by. Look, ma'am, I'd better lift you onto the bed. Then while you're napping, I can take the chair and have it good as new in half a tick.
Be careful now.
Oh, don't you worry about your Danny boy. Oopsie-daisy, up you come now. There you are. Now, pleasant dreams, sweet repose, half the bed, and all the clothes.
you silly boy.
Get a good sleep, ma'am. I'll take the chair right along.
Oh, Danny.
How's that? You talking to me?
I've got something for you.
Have you now? Really?
It's a price tag, Danny. I took it off your old mother's shawl.
You don't like my being here, do you?
Doesn't make any difference what I like. I've told you I'm a servant here myself.
Well, you're certainly not an ordinary servant, though, are you?
No, I suppose not.
Well, neither am I. Well, I have to fix this chair. You can watch if you like. You know, you're a fair, good-looking girl. You'd be pretty if you didn't wear your hair so tight. I'm quite particular about hair, I am.
Aren't you forgetting your work?
Sorry, Mum. That's a lock knot on there. Be a bit of a job to get it off. Well, easy does it.
Huh? You say something?
Huh? No. No, I didn't say anything at all. But Dora, don't you know anything about him?
Not much, Miss Olivia. Only that he was born in London. He'd been to say and things like that. You might say a bit of a mystery, Mum.
Anything else?
Well, he thinks he's a bit of all right, if you know what I mean.
Yes, that incredible vanity. They always have it, always.
Who, Mum?
Murderers.
Murderers? Oh, Mum.
Dora, I'm going through his things. Will you help me?
Me? Sure, Miss Olivia, if you say so. He hasn't unpacked his bags, Mum.
That is strange, Dora. He's had plenty of time.
Here's his wallet, though.
Anything in it?
Nothing much. A couple of snapshots, some bus tickets.
Wait, Dora. That snapshot. That's Mrs. Chalfont, a missing woman. There was a picture in the paper today.
You don't think that...
See if there's another bag under the bed.
No, Mum. Just his hat box, that's all. It... What is it, Miss?
Dora, you suppose there's something inside it?
Why not ask me?
Danny...
The old lady wants me to take her for a walk. I came back to get me hat. Could I have my wallet, please? It's the only one I've got.
Danny, do you know anything about Mrs. Chalfont's whereabouts?
Mrs. who?
Don't pretend you've never heard of her.
Oh, Mrs. Chalfont. Thought you said Chalfont swear. Kind of silly swear about. I couldn't think.
You haven't answered me.
Well, I've got nothing to go on, but I think she's been murdered.
Who did it? Who killed her?
Sorry, miss. The old girl wants her Danny boy. If you'll excuse me now, I'll be running along.
Been waiting for you, Danny. I've got to talk to you.
As they say in the movies, Mum, I'm charmed.
Did you do it?
You know, you look mighty pretty tonight. Wearing your hair a lot looser, aren't you?
You haven't answered again.
Look now, suppose I ask a question or two. Why are you so interested in me?
Oh, because you don't talk. So I have to guess at what you're thinking.
You'd be surprised.
Maybe not. Maybe I know.
You think so, huh?
Yes, you haven't any feeling at all.
No feelings?
You live in a world of your own. Your own imagination.
I don't understand that talk. Bit over me head it is, Mum.
You understand me perfectly.
Maybe. Maybe not. You still think there's been some dirty work, eh?
I don't know. Perhaps not. But if she has been killed, the murderer will be caught.
What makes you think that?
They always are. There's always some mistake they make.
And what about the clever ones? The ones who do it and get away with it? The ones who... Someone's at the door.
I'll go. Just a moment.
Good evening, miss. The name is Bearside. Bellsize of the county police.
Oh.
Sorry to bother you this late. Could I use your phone?
Of course. It's right here in the hall.
Hello? Hello, get me the county police, will you? Yes, and hurry, please. Thank you.
What is it? What's happened?
I'd rather not say, miss. It's not very pleasant. Hello? Hello, George. This is Bellsize. Yes, we found her in the woods right back of the Bramson place. No, not yet, George. We can't be positive. The head is missing.
Has presented Act One of Night Must Fall, starring Dame Mae Whitty, Rosemary DeCamp, and James Cagney. In just a moment, we will hear the Lady Esther Screen Guild players in Act Two.
All right, I don't even have to say it. He said it. Truman Bradley said it for me. In a little bit, we're going to listen to Act Two of Night Must Fall.
Oh, you had to say it anyways, didn't you?
Well, I like to make sure
to talk.
Yeah. All right, so we will tune that in. In a little bit.
Good.
Okay. And then I'll tell you what's coming up next week, too. Some good stuff coming up. All right, let's take a break here on the WGN Radio Theater. Thank you, Esmeralda Leon. We appreciate you. And Roger Badish, as always. And this is the WGN Radio Theater. We have a Facebook page, as we talked about, but we also have a website. Just log on to WGNRadioTheater.com, WGNRadioTheater.com, and there's all kinds of fun stuff there, including thousands of pictures of Lisa. And you know what else we have, Lisa? We have a podcast. It's not there, but all you have to do to listen to the podcast of this show, and I listen as I'm driving home. I actually can hear the podcast. That's how quickly Elif gets the podcast up. I'm driving home, and I check it like 20 minutes after the show, pretty much, and it's up already.
She puts it up before we finish the show, so it's already up, the whole show. It's already running.
No, but it's amazing. She's working hard. After the show, she gets that podcast up. And the podcast, to get to the podcast, what do you do? Because I do something differently.
You go to WGNRadio.com.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I have that app on my phone, the WGN Radio app.
I don't do apps.
Then you go to our show, WGN Radio Theater.
It's a lot of clicks.
Yeah. And then you hit the podcast.
No, let me tell you what I do.
Okay.
I go to Google.
Okay? Yes, I know.
Just go to Google. And then I type in WGN Radio Theater and whatever number, like this is show 98.
Right.
So WGN Radio Theater 98 pops right up.
Excellent. You can
click it.
Pops up. You can hop on and you can open it up.
Pop, hip, hip hop. And then I have figured out this technology. You're going to be very proud of me, Lisa.
I can actually Bluetooth
that sound to my car radio.
I do that too.
You believe that?
Yeah,
that's very exciting. Yeah, and then I listen in my car as I'm driving.
We have a lot of people waving.
As I'm driving
hello.
In my automobile, that's what I do. All right, let's get back now to this good mystery, Night Must Fall, on the Lady Esther Screen Guild Theater.
Was right. It had been murder, and the head was missing. I couldn't sleep a wink that night, fighting that terrible, overpowering thought. Finally, at 3 o'clock, I went out to the kitchen to make some tea. I was standing near the stove when I heard, or rather I should say I felt someone there. I turned very quickly and... Oh, it's you. What do you want?
I heard a noise. Hey, you making some tea?
Yes, I couldn't sleep.
Ah, too bad. Is there an extra cup for me?
I think so. Be ready in a moment.
What?
Thanks.
Really now, well, what are you doing out here?
I told you, I couldn't sleep. I was frightened.
Why do you keep on staying in this place? Out in the woods, lonesome, away from everyone. You don't like it, do you?
No, I don't, but...
I could tell you why you're staying. Because you want adventure, that's why.
I don't know what you mean.
Yes, you do. You want adventure, the kind that's right here now, just us two, in the middle of the night like this. Has never happened to you before, has it? Been alone with a chap like me.
Don't.
You're not scared. You're excited. Your eyes are shining. There's a color in your cheeks and your heart
don't,
is beating.
I'm frightened.
You feel all light like air, don't you? You never knew there was something like this inside of you, did you? And that's why you're staying on in this place, isn't it? Isn't it?
Stop it, please. Please. The water's boiling over.
Oh, yes. I almost forgot. The tea.
You can pour it yourself. I don't want any. I'm going to my room.
All right. Go on pretending. I can wait for you. I can wait. Really now. Your face isn't that long all day. You look just like an undertaker's assistant. You know, the old lady's beginning to get annoyed. You know that. Now, me, I try to stay in good spirits.
That's obvious. You've been drinking, haven't you? My aunt will order you off the place.
Oh, no, she won't. I've had enough of orders, I have. Why do you think I left the hotel? Orders. Everybody give me orders. Go here, do this, do that. Page boy. And just when I think I can take it easy, there's someone nagging at me, and screams, and I can't make her stop. Only by...
Go on.
Oh, no. No. You think I'm drunk, don't you? But I'm not. I'm too smart.
But not so smart you can sleep at night.
What?
You couldn't sleep last night. There was something that was keeping you awake. Just a little thing. A box.
but it's rather heavy.
Don't say it. Don't even try to say it.
Who's that?
Take it easy, take it easy. Anybody that's there, I'll handle them.
Hello, Danny. How's things?
Oh, fine, Mr. Belsize. Come in.
Well, we haven't scared you all out of the house yet, I see.
Oh, not a chance, sir, not a chance. Any clue to the murderer yet?
No, not yet. Pretty clever chap, all right.
You don't say.
Oh, absolutely. Well, he's got himself more publicity than a movie star.
Say, that is on the clever side. Anyone who can make his name like that and not be caught, and the police not even know who he is.
Oh, Danny.
Yes?
Just one thing, Danny. Matter of form. If you don't mind, I'll have a quick look through your room, huh? Well, nothing in these bags of yours, Danny's. Only the hat box left, I guess. Seems to be locked. You got the key?
It isn't mine.
Not yours? Well, whose is it, then?
I don't know.
That's funny. If it isn't
it's
yours...
It's mine.
Miss Olivia.
May I have it, please? It's got all my letters in it.
But if it's yours, miss, what's it doing in here?
Well, we used this for a storeroom before Danny moved in.
Oh, I see. Well, here it is, miss. I wouldn't want to be prying through all your letters. Well, goodbye, Danny. Keep me posted if anything turns up, huh?
I will, Mr. Belsize, I will.
I don't know why I did it, Danny. I don't know why.
I do. If you don't mind, I'll take that hat box now.
The old lady says, Miss Olivia. She can't make me stay in this awful house after dark. I'm going into the village and stay with me folks.
My aunt wouldn't like to be left here alone.
Oh, but she won't be alone, Mum. You'll be here.
No, I won't, Dora. I'm going in with you.
Gone. She's gone. They're all gone. Only she knows too much now. Suppose she talks. Suppose Belsize comes back. Got to do it, I guess. Got to do it. Got to do it.
Olivia. Olivia. Drat that girl. Never around and I need her. Dora. Dora! That's another one I'll have to talk to. Danny! Danny, where are you? There's no one here. They've gone. They've all gone and left me. I'm all alone. I'm all alone. I'm going to be murdered. I'm going to be... Danny! Danny, where are you? Where are you? Danny, where... What shall I do? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, forgive us our trespasses. Danny! Oh, Danny! Oh, Danny! It's you! Oh, Danny! Oh, believe when I saw your face. Oh, Danny, dear. Oh, you're the only one I can trust. Danny, you're the only one who can... Danny, that song... Why'd you whistle it, Danny? Why'd you look at me like that? Say something. Say something! In the name of God! Danny! Danny, what is it? Danny! Danny! Danny!
It's done now. Just got to burn the house, that's all. Won't be nothing left to show, nothing to... What's that? What is it? What is it? Say something, I'll... Oh, it's you. What have you come back for?
You've killed her. You've killed her, haven't you?
Suppose I have.
That's why I came back. I had to find out. I had to find you out.
No, that isn't why.
You came back here for me, to be alone with me, just like the other night. Didn't you? Didn't you?
I thought I wanted to. I didn't know what murder was really like. But they'll get you. They'll get you, Danny.
Oh, no, not me. I'm too smart. No one will ever know. Because no living soul will be able to tell any other living soul what happened.
You're going to kill me, too.
That's right. And you're scared.
No, not anymore. Because it could have been worse. I might never have found out what you're really like. You're mad. You're mad and horrible. And I almost...
Someone's there. They've been watching. They can't watch me. They can't. I'm the one that watches.
Anyone in there? It's me, Mr. Belsize.
They've been watching from behind the tree. 100 eyes behind each tree. Eyes. Eyes. Hundreds of them.
Hello,
thousands.
In there. Hello. Anyone up?
Mr. Belsize, we ought to...
Don't say a word. Don't say a word. Not a single word.
What's going on? What are you two doing in here?
Oh, nothing, sir. Nothing. Just having a talk before going to bed.
Well, why didn't you answer? Didn't you hear me call?
Mr. Belsize, my aunt...
Steady now, miss.
Oh, she's been imagining all kinds of things. Bit on the balmy side, I think.
That's so? Danny, let me see your hands.
What? My hands? Why, sure. Ain't nothing on my hands. Nothing but a...
Only a pair of handcuffs, that's all.
Huh. I'm caught. I'm caught.
I tried to phone here before, just a routine check. They told me the wires had been cut.
I'm going to die. I'm going to die. 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 Die.
Die. I'm sorry you had to see this, Miss Olivia. I'm leaving two men to watch the house in the corner over there coming out. You'll be safe here till morning. Coming, Danny?
Who? Who, me? Sure. Sure. You know, it's funny. I'd like something now I never wanted before. A long walk. All by myself. And just when I can't have it. That's contrary, isn't it? But I'm not through yet. I'll give them their money's worth at a trial.
Let's go, Danny.
Certainly, sir. Let's go.
Thank you, James Cagney, Dame May Whitty, and Rosemary DeCamp, for one of the most thrilling performances we have ever had. And our thanks, too, to Emlyn Williams, the author.
Well, speaking for myself, Mr. Bradley, any girl would welcome a chance to play a role like Olivia. And speaking for all of us, any actor considers it a privilege to be with the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players, because it's these radio shows that support the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its wonderful work, the Country House and Clinic.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players will present The Good Fairy. It will star Gene Lockhart, Frederick March, and Deanna Durbin. Be sure to listen, will you? James Cagney will soon be starred in his next picture, Blood on the Sun, a William Cagney production. Dame May Whitty can currently be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer production, The White Cliffs of Dover. Rosemary DeCamp is soon to be seen in the Universal production, The Mary Monahans. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. To try Lady Esther four-purpose face cream, just get the smallest size jar. Later, you can get the economical large jar and keep refilling the small one for convenience. This is Truman Bradley, speaking for Lady Esther, saying thank you and good night, everyone. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You know what, Lisa? I bet you if you were around during the time that these Golden Age of radio shows were on the air, you would have been one of these actresses in these shows.
I think I'd be the Autolite girl.
Well, you would have been the Autolite girl, but I think you would have been like, you know, like Peggy Weber, you know, who's been on this show many times. Peggy Weber, who she's on a ton of shows. Or Lorene Tuttle, or maybe you would be Kathy Lewis or one
well,
of these.
Thank you for your vote of confidence.
I think Lisa would have been a radio star back in the good old days.
I'll have to work on that today.
I would not have been. I would have not been a radio actor, but I would have wanted to be a director.
Right. Well, you are a director. You've directed many a radio drama.
Yeah, but I would have wanted to be, if I was around back
then. You've directed me in many radio dramas.
Lisa has appeared in my Twilight Zone radio dramas and also the Fangoria Dread Time stories.
And the Mike Hammer.
Mike Hammer.
Yeah. A lot of fun stuff.
We did radio dramatizations, and we should play some of these on the air, but
yeah.
I don't think we can play the Mike Hammers because they're a little, they can... Once in a while, they used a little four-letter word and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, they were. Yeah,
they
I
were
don't
pretty
know.
Racy.
Well, Mike Hammer has a as a you know image to uphold.
Yes, and so Frenette Lebo played Velma in those. Was it Velma?
Yeah, I remember well.
But you're great on the radio dramas.
Well,
Lisa.
I had a good director, Carl.
And you've been in my Bible projects too. My audio Bible projects.
That was difficult.
You get a lot of gigs from me,
right?
Right.
Bringing in the bucks, I tell you.
Man, you know, that's why you live in a mansion.
Right. All those, yeah, definitely.
That's the Lady Esther Screen Guild Theater from July 24th, 1944, Night Must Fall. It was sponsored by Lady Esther, and I think Lady Esther's still around. Cosmetics, like Lady Esther, like cold cream and stuff like that. I think it's still around. I think my mom still uses it.
I don't know.
I think she does. And James Cagney was the star of that. Rosemary DeCamp, Dame Mae Whitty, although they didn't say Dame.
Right.
But she went by, later in life, Dame Mae Whitty. Truman Bradley doing the announcing, and Wilbur Hatch doing the arranging and was the conductor on that, Wilbur Hatch. That's a great episode of the Screen Guild Theater from July 24th, 1944. All right, let's take a break, and then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. We give away three shows via digital download, you know, Lisa. If you go to TwilightZoneRadio.com, TwilightZoneRadio.com, there's three shows that you can digitally download, and each one of those shows is about 50 minutes long. I don't know if you're in any. You were in a lot of those shows, right?
Just a few.
Oh, I thought you were in a lot more. I mean,
just a few.
No, so I don't know if you're in any one of those three that we give away. But I think there's
that's
one.
Okay.
I think one of them has Jason Alexander on it, and then one I think has maybe Lou Gossett Jr., and then I think the other one has Hal Sparks.
I think those were before my time.
Oh, really?
Before I met you.
Okay. Yeah. But you did a lot of the Fangoria Dread Time stories.
I sure did.
With Malcolm McDowell.
I sure did.
Yeah, those are cool.
They were cool.
We might go back into the studio to do more of those. We're talking about doing them.
Yeah.
Doing more of those.
You gotta kill me off real fast.
We had a lot of fun. Did we do those at Cerny American Creative?
We sure did.
Yeah, we didn't do any at Resolution Digital Studios.
No, we did the Mike Hammer there.
At Resolution?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, two great studios. Resolution, which I'm doing my Bible project right now, an audio Bible project with a ton of fabulous actors in it. Ashley Judd is in it. Corbin Blue. We have John Rhys Davies. Josh Lucas plays Jesus in it. Fantastic job in
there. Yeah, I look forward to hearing
Corbin Blue is John. We have Jesse McCartney.
Oh, yeah.
Jesse McCartney plays Matthew. We have Hill Harper as Mark. I'm trying to think. There's a lot of great. And then, of course, terrific actors in Chicagoland.
I said there's a lot of great local
Christian
Chicago
Stolte
actors here.
Plays Luke in it. David Pasquazi is in it. A lot of Kurt Nabig plays Paul, which is the biggest part in the New Testament. Kurt Nabig, what an amazing! Oh my gosh, the guy is incredible. So the name of that audio Bible comes out via digital download this October. It's called the Breathe Audio Bible, and that comes out via digital download this October. But then it'll be on CD for Easter. We come out, I think, in February. So I'll tell you more about it, and I'll play some clips and stuff on the show as, you know, probably this Christmas. Maybe we'll play the Book of Luke because it's the Christmas story. So maybe we'll do that if you say it's okay, Lisa. It's
I'll
up to you.
I'll let you know.
If Lisa says it's okay, we will. And all right, so next week we'll be back, and we're done with the salutes for a little while, right?
For better or for worse.
We're not saluting anymore?
No.
You're not being patriotic? No more saluting?
No, we're trying to go back to the old format and see what kind of feedback we get.
All right, so next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we're here at 11 o'clock till 2 in the morning both days, and we have a weekend of detectives. We'll have Boston Blackie, yours truly, Johnny Dollar, Sherlock Holmes, The Adventures of Sam Spade, Richard Diamond, Private Detective, and Nick Carter, Master Detective. So that's next week here on the WGN Radio Theater. And you know who just walked in? Nick DiGilio. What's up, Nick? How are you? Wait a minute. Are we doing this right? How's that?
Hello.
Better?
There we go.
There we go.
I thought you were going to say Nick Carter just walked in.
Nick Carter,
Master Detective.
Is he a cousin? A distant cousin?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just
yeah.
a fellow
yeah.
Nick.
Nick loves these old-time radio shows.
He's a big fan. I did a couple of Twilight
That's
Zones.
That's right. You did do some Twilight Zones.
I did. Yeah.
And
the one that I remember the most
Oh, you were
was
the hitchhiker.
I was the hitchhiker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great part.
Yeah.
That's a great part. And you know who played the girl in that? Do you remember?
No, I don't
She
remember.
Was a she was a an angel. She was one of Charlie's angels.
Was it?
Kate Jackson.
Kate Jackson.
That's right.
That's
Kate Jackson.
I scared Kate Jackson.
Yes, you did.
That's very good.
That's a great show because Nick plays this this hitchhiker. She keeps seeing him all along the way, and it's impossible. She's driving past him, yet everywhere, you know, miles and miles and miles,
right.
She keeps seeing Nick.
I am everywhere.
I was going to say Nick is everywhere, so it sort of makes sense.
All right, we have a quick break, then we're going to come back to Nick. My good buddy. Yeah, we were talking about this weather. Whew,
hate
it was
it.
Hot.
Hate it.
Hot. Cubs won, though.
Yes,
Cubs
they did. Boy,
won.
What a win.
Yeah, great game.
Rizzo's pretty good.
Yeah. He's about one of the best in the biz, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So what's on the show this morning?
Movie reviews. We'll talk about all the new movies. Woody Allen's got a new movie out. There's a new Star Trek movie.
Now, the Woody Allen movie, that's only available on Amazon Prime, right?
No.
Oh, it's in the theaters?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. What's the name of it?
It's called Cafe Society.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's out right now.
Very cool.
We will review that. And
yeah.
My dad will call in and tell a joke and all that cool stuff.
Great. So listen for Nick DiGilio. He's up next. And we'll be listening as I'm driving home, Nick.
Thanks, man.
Love it, man.
Appreciate it.